Okay, Parsha Shlach. So I have a confession to make, is that so many classical Verach HaShlach they said over the years that I'll say a few of them over again just because I think they're very kedai, and every time I hear them they give me chizik. So I'd like to say over some all these that we said in the past. We find at the beginning of the Parsha the story of the Meragim. The Pasuk tells us in Perik Yigimel, Pasuk Yudzayin, and Pasuk Tetzayin, Eilosh Shmois HaAnoshim, Asher Shoach Moshe L'Suras Haaretz. These are the names of the people that Moshe sent to spy out the land. Vayikra Moshe L'Shea Ben Nun, Yoshua. And Moshe calls L'Shea Ben Nun, Yoshua. And Rashi tells us, why did Moshe change L'Shea Ben Nun's name to Yoshua? Spalalov, Moshe Davin for Yeshua, Ka Yoshiacha Me'atas Meragla. Hashem should save you from the Eitzah, from the plan of the Meraglim. We're all familiar with the story of the Meraglim, and we know that of the 12 Meraglim that went into Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua and Kalev remained tzaddikim, and the other 10 came back and spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and they were punished. And there's a classical Chavetz Chaim who discusses the difference between Yeshua and Kalev. I know he mentioned it many times. We find Moshe davens only for Yeshua. Why did Moshe daven for Kalev also? Why only Yeshua? Why was Yeshua deserving of a special tefillah? We find later on, the Pasuk tells us, in Pasuk Chof Beis, Vayaru Banegev, Vayovo Yad Chevron. They came until Chevron. And Rashi asks the obvious kasha. The Pasuk starts off, Vayaru, Roshan Rabin. They went up in the Negev. Next word, Vayovo, and he came to Chevron. It should have been Vayovoyu. Vayaru, they went up, Vayovoyu, and they came. What's Vayalu? They went by Negev, Vayovay, and he came. So Rashi explains that only one of the Meraglim went to Chevron. Which one? Kalev ben Yefuna went to Chevron. And Rashi says, why? Kalev levadoi halach shom. Only Kalev went to Chevron. V'nishtateach shom al Kivri Ovis. And he bowed down, he spread himself out by Kivri Ovis, by the Maros HaMachpelah, that he shouldn't be enticed and follow the Eitzah of the Meraglim. So Kalev went to daven for himself. Chavetz Chaim's bothered. And why not Yeshua? Moshe davens for Yeshua, not for Kalev. Kalev has to go daven for himself by Chevron. Later on, when they come back, what happens? The Meraglim give their bad report, and the Pasuk right before Shlishi tells us, Vayahas Kalev es ha'om. Kalev quiets down the people. And Rashi explains, how did the Kalev quiet down the people? Kalev started to speak and he said, Chizu bilavad, also Lord of Ben Amram. Is this the only thing that Ben Amram did for us? So the people thought that Kalev didn't speak Liganai, bit about Moshe, the same way the other Meraglim did. So they were quiet and they listened. And then Kalev said, but Moshe gave us the mon, and Moshe brought us down the Luchos, and Moshe split the Yamsuf, and so on. So Kalev spoke about the Shvach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why only Kalev? Why didn't Yeshua quiet down the people? Why Vayas Kalev a psalm? Seems to be that Kalev had the ability to quiet down the people. And Yeshua didn't have that ability. The Chavetz Chaim explains very nicely. Yeshua and Kalev had two different midos, two different ways in Avodas Hashem. Yeshua had one mahalich, and Kalev had another mahalich. When a person is faced with a nisayon in life, a challenge in life, and a person is together with Rishoyim, or with people that have a bad influence, there are two ways to handle it. There's one type of person who right away lets it be known that I'm not with you. You're wrong, and what you're doing is incorrect. You're a shoyim, and I'm going to stand up for what's right. And he lets them know right away in the beginning that he's not with them, and he's not going to go along with their plan. It's another type of person who makes believe. When he's together with a shoyim, on the surface, on the outside, he makes believe. I hear what you're saying, I'll go along with you. But in his heart, he knows the truth. And in his heart, he knows what's right, and ultimately at the end, he does what's right. Says the Chavetz Chaim, each way has a maila, each way has a chesam. It's a maila to come out against the Rishoyim right away. Because this way, a person is not influenced by the Rishoyim. If he comes out fighting against them from day one, from the very beginning, there's no danger of his being influenced by the Rishoyim. On the other hand, it's a major chesaron. His life's in danger. If they know that he's against them, and they know that he's going to try to ruin their plans, they could harm him, they could even kill him. His life's in danger by letting it be known that he's against the Rishon. The other person, who's quiet, and only in his heart he knows what's right. But on the outside, he goes along with the Rishayim. There's also a mile in a chesaron. The mile is, he's safe. The Rishayim are not going to plan to harm him or to kill him because they think he's on their side. But the chesaron is a tremendous chesaron. He could be influenced by them. If he makes believe on the outside that he accepts their ideas, he accepts their philosophy, then slowly but surely he can have an influence and affect his thinking. So there's a mile in a chesaron each way. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Yeshua was a fighter. Yeshua's midah was to let them know exactly that he was not with them, they were wrong, and that he was not going to go along with the Meraglim. Kalev, on the other hand, did things differently. Kalev, on the outside, pretended to go along with the Meraglim, but inside, he knew what was right. With this, the Chofetz Chaim answers all of the kashas. Moshe davened only for Yeshua, because Yeshua's life was in danger. Kalev's life wasn't in danger. Moshe knew that Yeshua's life would be in danger with the Meraglim. So he had to daven poshut for Yeshua's life. Yeshua's life should be saved. The Meraglim shouldn't gang up and plan and plot against him. Kalev's life wasn't in danger because Kalev pretended to go along with the Rishoyim. Who had to go to Chevron? Only Kalev had to go. Yeshua didn't have to go because Yeshua was stark. He was strong. He didn't feel himself being influenced by the Rishoyim, by the plans. Kalev, on the other hand, you know why he went to Chevron? Because he felt himself being influenced by the Rishoyim. He felt himself being convinced. And slowly but surely, he felt himself cooling off a little bit and hearing what they had to say. So Kalev needed a boost. Kalev needed chizik. So where did he go for chizik? By Yovayat Chevron. He went to Maris Machpelah to Davin. Hashem should watch over him. And he shouldn't become influenced by the ideas of the Rishoyim. Later on, when they came back to Klal Yisrael, whom did they let speak? Not Yeshua, because they knew Yeshua was against them. Yeshua was the last person the Meraglim would let speak to the people. But Kalev, they thought Kalev was on their side. So Kalev had the koyach, vayas Kalev his own. Kalev had the ability to quiet everybody down. Because Kalev, the Meraglim thought they were on the side of the Meraglim. So Kalev was able to quiet everybody down. And as soon as he had his chance, Kalev turned it all around, and he spoke the truth the way that it really is. And Kalev showed that it was only on the outside that he was this way, but on the inside, he was a tzaddik all along. And the Chofetz Chaim ends off very powerful, and he says, which way is right? Which way is correct? Is it better to be a fighter against the Rishoyim, or is it better sort of to hold yourself back and bide your time, and when time is ripe, then you let it be known that you're tzaddik, you're not together with the Rishoyim. Says the Chofetz Chaim, both ways are right. They're both equal. And that's why sometimes in the Psukim, Yeshua's name is mentioned before Kalev, and sometimes Kalev's name is mentioned before Yeshua. To tell us, Eilu ve'eilu, divrei Elokim chayim. Both ways are correct. The Mahalach of Kalev, Mahalach of Yeshua, depends on the person. Every person has their own personality, has their own characteristics, their own tchunais, their own ways of behaving. A person who knows himself knows how he behaves in different situations. And the truth is, as long as a person is L'shem Shemayim, every way is correct. The main thing is, Acha Kavanah Salev, what a person's Kavanah is. You know, there's a cute little story. They say over, goes back to the 1800s, and before, actually let's upgrade the story, make it a little more modern. Tell of a story, there was once a town, and a big fire broke out in the town. And the fire is raging and burning, and the town's fire department can't put out the fire. As hard as they try, they can't put out the fire. With all the equipment that they have, the fire is so hot, they can't even come close near the fire to even attempt to put it out. So they put out a fire alarm, and all the neighboring towns send over their fire trucks, and all the fire trucks come from all ends to the fire. And they come from this side and that side. And as soon as any fire truck comes within half a mile of the fire, it's so hot, the heat is so tremendous, they can't come any further, they can't come near the fire. So they call in the fire brigade from the big city, and the fire trucks, and the big fire departments, and they come from the big city, and from the big city the fire truck comes, can't get near the fire. Finally, the governor puts out an award, whoever is able to put the fire, giving thousands of dollars a reward for whoever puts out the fire. And fire departments come from all over the country to try to put out the fire. And no one comes near the fire. Suddenly, from a little Yiddish shtetl, a little Yiddish town from Chelem, Yiddish shtetl, an old rickety fire truck comes zooming with the ladder half falling off, the wheel is barely turning, the fire, the truck is rusty and old, comes zooming straight into the fire, spritzes water, and puts out the fire. And everyone is amazed, what happened? All the modern fire trucks with all the modern equipment couldn't put out the fire. And here, this little Yiddish comes, Yiddish fireman come with this old rickety run-down fire truck, and they put out the fire. And of course, they're the heroes of the day. And when the governor presents them with the award money, he asks the chief, the fire chief of the Yiddish fire company, how are you going to spend the award money? What are you going to use the money for? What's the first thing you're going to use the money for? And he says, the first thing I'm going to use the money for is to buy new brakes for the fire truck. Okay.
Excellent. You didn't put brakes. You wanted to fire without the brakes.
Okay. What's the point of the story? Point of the story is that sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of the fire. Sometimes we wish the brakes worked. Sometimes we wish that we didn't have to face the sun. We didn't have to face the challenge. We wished our brakes worked and be able to hold ourselves back, and we didn't find ourselves in the middle of the challenge, in the middle of the situation. But life doesn't always work like that. A lot of times our brakes don't work. Sometimes our brakes don't work. We wish we could stop ourselves. We wish we could hold ourselves back and not be in the situation. We wish things were different, but sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of the raging fire. A person has to know who he is. A person has to know how to handle a situation. We all go through life. We find ourselves in situations that we'd rather not be in. Sometimes together with people we'd rather not be with. The main thing is a person has to know who is he, what his characteristics are, and how he's going to handle the situation. He has to know l'shem shemayim. What could he do that the outcome should come out to be successful, should come out to be l'shem shemayim. And if the brakes don't work, of course we make the dorim, that we shouldn't come to a place where there's a matzav and aveiro. We shouldn't come to a place where there's an isayin. But the brakes don't always work. And sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we shouldn't be, or in a place where there's an anus. And a person has to prepare himself in advance that when I do find myself in such a situation, how am I going to handle it? What am I going to do? And a person who prepares himself is able to overcome this yainus. The main tactic of the Yetzer Hara is surprise. Catches you by surprise, puts you in a situation you're not ready for, and a person falls. But a person who prepares himself in advance, when the brakes don't work, that person is able to overcome this yainus. Whether it's like a Yeshua, whether it's like a Kohen. But a person has an ability to prepare himself to be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. The whole parasha of the Meraglim is a very difficult parasha. Very hard to understand. Of course, on a simple level, the Meraglim were wrong, and they wanted it to stay in the Midbar, because of the power, being Nesiim, whatever cheshbonis they had. I am Ponim HaTorah. I know I said this over last year, but it holds a very powerful heart and a tremendous, tremendous chizuk. This idea is brought down by many. I saw from Yonis and Eimschitz brings it down. It's brought down by many the idea what the Meraglim think. What were they thinking to stay in the Midbar? Hashem told them they're going into Eretz Yisrael. They went to Eretz Yisrael. They came back and they spoke bad about Eretz Yisrael. We can't conquer Eretz Yisrael. What was their cheshbon? What were they thinking? And one of the many, many ways of explaining the Meraglim is that the Meraglim made a cheshbon that on the surface sounds l'shem shemayim. It sounds correct, but they made a big mistake. The Meraglim took a look at life in the Midbar and took a look at what life would be like in Eretz Yisrael. And they realized the difference between the two. Life in the Midbar was with Nisim. The whole life was lived with miracles. What did they eat?
Manna.
What did they drink? Bar Miriam. How did they travel? The Nane Kovoy, the clouds over the mountains, picked up the valleys. How did they have light at night? The Amadesh, the pillar of fire. The whole life was purely Nisim. Pure Nisim? They were the daughter of Zeicha to the Torah. The Gemara tells us, the Torah was given to those that ate the man. Because those that ate the man were Tahar, Kadosh. They didn't have the mundane activities, the mundane nesiyonis that we have. They lived in a ruchnis, a spiritual world. The Meraglim knew when they entered Eretz Yisrael, it all changes. It's over. There's no more Mon. There's no more Be'er Miriam. There's no more Nanei Kovoy. There's no more Amud Eish. All the ruchnis is over. They're going to have to start plowing Eretz Yisrael and planting, and they're going to have to work. What's going to happen to all the Kedusha that they have? The world's going to change from being a world of ruchnis, a spiritual world, to being a world of gashmias, a mundane world. And that's what the Meraglim felt. They felt that it's worthwhile to stay in the Midbar. And we want to remain Kadosh. And the way to stay Kadosh is by living in a spiritual world, a world of Nisim. And they wanted to stay in the Midbar and be in a world of Nisim. And that was a mistake. That was a mistake. Not always is our avoided to be in a world of Nisim, in a world of Kedusha. Sometimes our avoided is to be in a mundane world, in a regular Gashmistika world, and overcome it. and work on ourselves within Gashmius, within the mundane world, and overcome the challenges that the world presents to us. And the story, I know we said over the story, there was once a chassid of a Rebbe Yitzchak Baditchev who was learning, he was learning many years in Beis Medrash, and it came one year, it was before Yom Tov, before Sukkot, and he had no money. He didn't have any money for which to support his family. So he was looking around for an eitzah, how to earn money, and someone suggested to him he should go buy a barrel of fish and stand and sell fish, and from that he'll make a parnasa for Yom Tov. So kachave, he went ahead and he buys a barrel of herring and he stands on a street corner selling herring for the barrel. And Baruch Hashem was matzliach, he was able to sell the fish and he had money for Yom Tov. It comes Yom Kippur, was that year? Next year comes Yom Kippur and he travels to Baditchev to be with the Rebbe Yitzchak for Yom Kippur. And he comes and he davens Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur is over, mitzvah Yom Kippur, the Baditchev walks over to him and says, I want you to know, your tefillahs made a tremendous rash in Shemayim. Your tefillahs made a tremendous impression in Shemayim. And the chassid looks at him and says, my tefillahs? And Rebbe Yitzchak says to him, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened, tell me if I'm right. I'm going to tell you what you davened for, and tell me if I'm right. And the chassid says, okay, go ahead. And the Baditchev says, last night by Maariv, you davened like this. He said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, ani parnos. I made a cheshbon that with 120 gold coins, I could live for the entire year. If I had 120 gold coins, I could sit and learn the entire year. I could sit and I don't have to worry about parnoso. I'll have everything good. I'll be able to be a kedusha v'tahara a whole year with 120 gold coins. Okay, I said, Hashem, kesef is zohov, it all belongs to you. Please let me have 120 gold coins. I could sit and learn a whole year. But Ditchu says to him, that was my mind. By Shacharis, he changed his mind. By Shacharis, he said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I made a mistake. It's too big of an assignment to have 120 gold coins at one time. If I would have such a large amount of money at one time, the Yitzhahara will come and say, ooh, instead of selling barrel of fish, go open a store and be busy a whole year with stores and parnasa. It's too much of a challenge to have so much money at one time. Instead, Hashem, how about 60 gold coins Sukkot time and 60 gold coins Pesach time? Installment plan, half a year, 60 gold coins, and half a year, 60 gold coins, and this way I'll have what I need for the whole year. By Musaf, you changed your mind a third time. By Musaf, you said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, 60 gold coins is too much to have at one time. If I have all the money at one time, the Yitzhahara might come to me, and I'll spend the money, I'll do things I shouldn't do, and I'll waste my, it's not good. How about every month? 10 gold coins, 12 months a year, 10 gold coins for each month. And this way I'll have enough money for the entire year, without the challenges, without the nesiyonis, I'll be able to learn. By Nigo, you change your mind a fourth time. By Nigo, you said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, 10 gold coins a month is too much. It's too much to have at one time. How about 2.5 gold coins every week? Every week, 2.5 gold coins. I'll have just what I need for that week, to my food, what I need for that week and for Shabbos. And this way, I won't have any extra money, and I won't have any nesiyonis. Hashem, please, 2.5 gold coins a week. The Bishop says to the Chassid, tell me, is that what you're davening for? Is that what happened? And the Chassid says exactly what happened. It's exactly what I was mispalo for. That was exactly my machshava by Myriv, by Shachris, Musaf Ne'igo, that was my machshava. And then the chassid says, you told me what happened down here. But you said I made a tremendous rash in Shemayim. Tell me, what happened in Shemayim? Was my tefillah accepted in Shemayim or not? Did they accept my tefillah or not? And Reb Leib Yitzchak tells him, no, your tefillah wasn't accepted. Your tefillah wasn't accepted. And the chassid is devastated. He says, why? I did it with Shem Shemayim. I davened from the heart. Why wasn't my tefillah accepted? And the Baditchev says to him, because how do you know that your cheshbon down here is the same cheshbon they have up in Shemayim? You think that if you don't have any daigas, you have no worries, and you learn Pitayra B'Kedusha, that's going to bring the most nachas ruach, the most pleasure to Hashem in Shemayim. Not always true. When a yid works during the day, and the Yid gives a krechs and milah, then he says, oi, halavai, I should be able to learn now. Halavai, I shouldn't have to be, I should be able to learn. That krechs that a Yid gives, that he wishes he's able to learn, and he expresses his rotzen to be able to learn, that krechs that he gives, that krechs that he gives, that's worth a lot more in Shemayim. That's worth so much when a Yid expresses his inner rotzen, what he really, really wants to do. And when a person has challenges in life, and he works hard, and he comes home, and then he's able to learn, and then he's able to do mitzvahs, he writes in chesed, and follow the Ratzon Hashem, that's worth sometimes a lot more than a person who could sit without nisyonis. A person who thinks many times that sitting in the spiritual world without any nisyonis is the ideal, what he should be. Not always true. And Shemayim, a lot of times, when a person has nisyonis and he has his challenges and he's able to overcome them, that's worth a lot, that's worth a lot more. We don't know what the scales look like in Shemayim. We don't know what the cheshbon is in Shemayim. And not always the way we cheshbon, the way we think, is accurate, is 100% true. And therefore, he said to the Chassid, Hashem is more nachas ruach from your rotzen, from you wanting to learn, and you being meisen nefesh to learn, than from you actually sitting without having any nisyonis. Okay. I know I said this over last year, but it's a tremendous chizik. Everybody sitting here, myself included, we go through tremendous nisyonis. Every day, day in and day out. We're all out there in the world. We know what it's like out there. And the nisyonis are not getting any easier. If anything, they're getting harder and harder. How do we overcome the nisyonis? How do we overcome it? We know who we are. We know who we are. We come together every night to learn. I don't know what happens in Shemayim, but if a Yid, after a hard day, sitting together with Goyim, or wherever he works, and running around, and going through all the nisyonis that he has, is able to come to learn after a whole day, running around, Mikam Chol Yisrael Goyecha Baretz. Who else? Is any other nation like Chol Yisrael Baretz, that after a full days of work, comes together to learn? Look at a Yid. We start off the day, we run to shul to Dama Shachris early in the morning. We have to run to work one day, Chapa Mincha middle of the day, Chapa Mincha before Shkia, Chapa Mincha later in the day. And after the day is over, we're still not finished. Come to learn. And some of us go home, and after we learn tonight, we have to go back, and the other things we have to take care of yet. And we find time to be Avdei Hashem day in and day out. Shachris, Mincha, Mariv. To us, doesn't seem like much. Oh, halavai, we had more. But the truth is, the tremendous nisyonis that we have, and we overcome it, tremendous nachas ruach. Mika amcha Yisrael gayecha baretz. So it's us coming together to learn, like we said earlier, we mechazik each other, mika amcha Yisrael gayecha baretz. Okay, later on in the parasha, we find Mekosh Sheitzim. Who was the Mekosh Sheitzim? Mekosh Sheitzim, the Gemara tells us, according to what mandama was at Tzurafchot, that Tzurafchot went ahead and he gathered wood on Shabbos. And what was his punishment? His punishment was, he was chayiv skigul. The Pasuk tells us in Perek Tesvov, Pasuk on the days, Vayiyu b'nei Yisrael b'amindo, Vayimtsu ish Mekosh Sheitzim b'yom HaShabbos. They found a man, Machoges, chopping wood, gathering wood on Shabbos. And the Pasuk says, they brought him to Moshe Rabbeinu, they locked him up, until they found that he was Chayiv Skiva. And we know that Tysus who brings it down, Tysus brings down, the Medrash brings down, that Tzurafchot was Mechal Shabbos L'Shem Shemayim. The reason why Tzurafchot was Mechal Shabbos was to show people how Chomer Chil Shabbos is. Tysus goes a little bit further, and Tysus says that the Dor HaMidbar thought that after the Chet HaEgel, and the Gezeirah was decreed, they would die in the Midbar, after the Meragim, and they would die in the Midbar, and they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they thought that they don't have to keep mitzvahs anymore. They thought, since they won't be Zeichet to enter Eretz Yisrael, in the Midbar, there's no need to keep Shabbos, and there's no Shemira Shabbos in the Midbar, so Tzolofchon went ahead on purpose, with Shem Shemayim, to show everybody that even in the Midbar, and even after the Gezeirah, that they're going to die in the Midbar, and not enter Eretz Yisrael, that's still Mechuyev in Shabbos, and therefore it was Mechal Shabbos to show everybody the Einish one receives for being Mechal Shabbos. He did it L'Shem Shemayim. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Nun Amud Beis, brings down a story about a Chassid Echad. There was one Chassid who was walking by his field on Shabbos, and he saw a breach, a break in the fence. And he looked at the break in the fence, and on Shabbos, he was already pointing how to fix it. After Shabbos, he's gonna bring wood, he's gonna bring stones, he's gonna fix the fence. He already was thinking in his mind, on Shabbos, what he will do about the break in the fence after Shabbos. Then the Gemara says that the Chassid had charata. He felt bad that he had a machshava about doing malacha on Shabbos. So he resolved at that point he's not going to fix the breach at all. He's never going to fix that breach in the fence, that break in the fence. He's going to leave it open because he had a machshava about doing malacha on Shabbos. And he was meichel, anybody who came in through that break and took fruits from his field, he was meichel b'leiv showing. And he never fixed that breach. He left that break in the field open. Shem Darizah was brought down that chosid was a gilgul of Tzolofchot. That chosid was a gilgul, the neshama was a gilgul of Tzolofchot. And that neshama came down to this world through Mesakeh in the chait that Tzolofchot did. Tzolofchot was Mechal Shabbos, L'Shem Shemayim, but still was Chil Shabbos. He needed a tikkun. What was a tikkun? This neshama came down to the world, and had an Nisayon about Shmiras Shabbos, and this chosid, who was an Hashem of Tzulavchad, was able to be the Kadesh Hashem Shamayim by not fixing the fence and showing everybody the Kedusha of Shabbos, how Chomer Shabbos is, and with that he was Masakein the Chait that he had done earlier in the Midbar. When the Maram's in the back of the Gemaras, when the Maram was a little boy, they asked him the question, if one looks closely by the Mekoshish Eitzim, the Pasuk says in Pasuk Lamed Hei, Vayoyim Hashem O Moshe, Mois Yumas HaIsh, Rogoyim Oisei Ba'avonim, Kol Eidu. Everyone should stone the Mekoshish Eitzim, Skingo Mechutz HaMachana. The next Pasuk, Vayetziu Oisei Kol Ha'eda Mechutz HaMachana, they took him outside the Machana, Vayirgamu Oisei Ba'avonim, they stoned him with Avonim, Loshin Rabin, Raks, Avonim. It says Avonim Loshin Rabin. In Pashas Emor, we had somebody else was Chayev Skingo. The Makalo, the Megadlef is also Chayev Skilo. And there, he was also Chayev Skilo, but there the Pasuk says, Evan B'roshin Yochid, not Avonim B'roshin Rabin. The Pasuk, the last Pasuk of Pashas Emor, Vayetziu as a Makalo El Mechutz HaMachane, they took the Makalo El outside the Machane, Vayirgimu Oisai Oven, they stoned him with a rock, B'roshin Yochid. So when Ram was a little boy, the Melamed asked them why it says Avonim by the Mekoshesh, plural, and why it is Evan Yochid by the Mekalel. And the Maram, as a young boy, gave a very brilliant answer. And Maram said, because by the Mekoshish Eitzim, not everybody was aware he did it L'Shem Shemayim. There were those who knew he did it L'Shem Shemayim, and those who didn't know he did it L'Shem Shemayim. But Meir, when they gave him Skila, everybody had a different Kavanah. This person threw the rock, because they thought he was a real Mechalel Shabbos, Chayev Skila. This person threw the rock, a little hesitantly, knowing that he did it L'Shem Shemayim, that he didn't do it as a Mechal Shabbos. He did it L'Shem Shemayim. So when they threw the rocks at the Mekoshish Eitzim, they had different kavanas. There were those who threw it thinking it was a Rasha, and he deserved Skila for Chil Shabbos, and there were those who did it knowing he did it L'Shem Shemayim. By the Mekalel, that's not true. By the Mekalel, there was no L'Shem Shemayim. The Mekalel was a pure Rasha. The Mekalel, nobody had a Havamina, nobody had a S'chus for the Mekalel. So therefore, when they threw the rocks at the Mekalel, everybody had the same Kavano. The Kavano was, it's Chayev Skilo for being Mekalel. Therefore it says, Vayirgimu Oisei Oven, they stoned them with one rock, because all of the Kavanos were the same. By the Mekoshesh, when they stoned the Mekoshesh, their Kavanos were different, therefore it says, Vayirgimu Oisei Avonim, with rocks. Because Mekoshesh Eitzim was Shem Shemayim. At the end of the parasha, we have parasha of Tzitzis. Vayomer Shimon b'nei Moshe le'emor, Darbel b'nei Yisrael. Pasuk says, Darbel b'nei Yisrael, v'amarto alayhem, v'osu lehem Tzitzis. We say this pasuk at least twice a day, not three times a day, four times a day, depending when the person davens. Darbel b'nei Yisrael, v'amarto alayhem. What does it mean, Darbel? What does it mean, v'amarto? Speak to b'nei Yisrael and say to them. What speak, what say? And second of all, we have a klal. Dibur is a Lashon Kosher. Amir is a Lashon Raka. Dibur is when you speak harshly to somebody. Vayidaber. Vayoyimah. Amir is when you speak softly to somebody. So what does the pasuk mean? Daber, speak harshly to Bnei Yisrael. V'yomarta, and say softly to them. What's daber and what's v'yomarta? So, the Sefer Kol Yehuda, he says a very nice idea. But you all know that tzitzis, be'emes, a person is not mechuyev in tzitzis. If a person doesn't have a four-cornered beged, or even if he has the baguette, and he doesn't want to wear it, and he leaves it hanging in the closet, he has no chiv to put tzitzis on the baguette hanging in the closet. If he doesn't own a four-cornered baguette, there's no chiv whatsoever to go buy a four-cornered baguette. The only time a person is chayiv in tzitzis is when he puts on a four-cornered baguette. If he owns a four-cornered baguette and he puts it on, then he's chayiv in tzitzis. However, the Gemara tells us that even though a person is not mechuyev in tzitzis, but somebody who's not mekayim, the mitzvah say of tzitzis, be'idon derischa, when there's anger in the world, when Hashem brings anger in the world, then a person is punished for not keeping a mitzvah sase, for being mevatel a mitzvah sase. So a person who wears a tzitzis, even though he's not mechuyev to, has protection from idon deriskha, the times of anger that occur, that happen in this world. Daber. In tzitzis, there are two parts. There's a harsh part. There's the daber. If you put it on a bag at a four corners, daber. You're mechuyev to put on tzitzis. You can't wear the bag without tzitzis. That's the daber. It's a chiyuv. A person had. On the other hand, is also v'amarta. There's no chiyuv, but v'amarta, b'loshin raka. but it's a good idea to wear tzitzis. It's recommended to wear tzitzis. Because a person who wears a tzitzis, even though he's not mechuyev, he has protection because he's mekayem the mitzvah saseh when there's a time of anger in the world. So there's a daber, there's a harsh part in a tzitzis, there's an absolute chiyuv to wear tzitzis when a person puts on a bag at the four corners, and then there's the valmarta. Even if a person doesn't have a baguette, or doesn't want to wear the baguette, the valmarta, we speak to him softly and tell him that it's still recommended to go and buy the baguette to go ahead and to wear tzitzis. It's well known that the Gra, before the Gra was nifta, the Gra took the tzitzis in his hand and he started to cry. And the Gra said that this world, look at this world, for this world, look at the schar that a person has for a few coins. For a few coins, a person could go and buy tzitzis and put it on. He's zoicha from the kabbal penei shechina for wearing tzitzis. Look how great this world is. If just for a few coins, a person has the opportunity and the ability to do mitzvah. When a person comes to Hayom Habo, it's too late. Like the pasuk says, Hayoim la'asaisom u'mochol kabbal scharim. Today is the time to do mitzvahs. Tomorrow, Hayom Habo is the time we receive the schar. I think I said this myself, but the Kelim Magid was once traveling, and he went, it was in the summer, he went to a place where the Olam went on vacation. And he walked into the shul, Shabbos morning, in this vacation city, and he saw many people were there without talisim. They weren't wearing talisim. So we asked, is there a minikin out to wear talisim? What happened? So people told him, nah, it's vacation, we're on vacation, so we don't take the talis with us on vacation, we left the talis at home, we didn't take the talis. So after davening was over, the Kelma Magad asked for Shus to speak. He got up to speak. And he said, I want to tell you a story that happened to me before I left. I'm also here on vacation. And before I left home, I want to tell you a Maisa Shahai, a story that happened. I'm preparing to leave. And I was supposed to speak to a certain balabas before I left the city. And I come to his house. I knock on the door. And it's empty. And the neighbors tell me he went on vacation. He's gone. The balabas I was supposed to speak to went on vacation. Okay, I'm about to walk away from the house, and suddenly I hear somebody crying in the house. I hear crying in the house. I'm a little bit on vacation, no one's home, I hear crying. Somebody's crying, I have to see what's the matter. So I turn the door was open, I walk into the house. And I say, is anybody here? Anybody need help? Someone's crying. And the crying continues. Nobody's answering me. So I walk into the house, and I see on the table is the talus big, the balabas left behind, and the talus is sitting there crying. And the talus is crying. And the talus, and I said to the talus, what's the matter? Why are you crying for? And the talus says to me, because my owner left me. All his money he took with him. His silver he took with him on a vacation. And me, his talus, he left behind, and I'm crying because he left me behind. The Kelma Magid says, I told the talus, don't worry, because after 120 years, he's going to take you with him, and all his money he's going to leave behind. So ultimately, at the end, he's going to take you with him. Okay. Hopefully, they got the message about wearing a talis. But there are many mitzvahs in this world that are very easy to do. They don't cost too much. Not such a big tercha to do. A person would have kavana for a second and be mekayim a mitzvah. Now we have it. It's mekayim a mitzvah. It goes so much further. Kavana plays such a major role. We had a whole sugya in the Gemara, mitzvah tzrichas kavana, ain't tzrichas kavana. Kavana plays a role. Even if we hold mitzvah stoni kavana, he's yaitz in a mitzvah. But the schar that a person who has kavana, does the mitzvah with kavana, his schar is so much greater than a person who does the mitzvah without kavana. We all do mitzvahs, we all look at the schusim. The small mitzvahs that we do, let's have kavana, we're doing a mitzvah, I'm doing the mitzvah, and many times the Yisai Rishar Shavayda brings down that the kavanah to have is I'm bringing nachas ruach liyitzra. I'm bringing nachas ruach to Hashem. I don't understand all the sadis about tzitzis, all the secrets, and all the reasons, and all the deep meanings behind it. But I know one thing. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to wear tzitzis, and the Torah tells us to look at the tzitzis l'man tiskru, to remember the mitzvahs. Let's have kavanah that we're doing a mitzvah, have kavanah that this is a mitzvah, and if we open our eyes and look throughout the day, we'll see all the opportunities we have to do mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs that we're kaim, shtaka be a schus for all of us, and we're entering the summertime now, and we know the summertime is a time where they're like Messianus, and the summertime is sort of Hefkeris. Let's watch ourselves, let's watch ourselves, and be aware of our special status, Am Yisrael, and the mitzvahs that we do, we should all be zeicha, the same Mashiach came here, you know, online.